Penny put it on and just that's just different.
It's on, it just started. We started Felicia's last night, and I'd like to take this opportunity right before Rosh Hashanah to speak about one specific aspect of our community that I believe we have to refurbish as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah. When I say refurbish, I mean it was there. In the last few years, it's not so much there, and I feel that's a problem, and I'd like to express it. You may not agree with me. You may say we've changed for the better, but in this case, I think we haven't necessarily changed for the better, and I'll tell you what I mean. Many, many years ago, I heard my Rebbe Rav Amital very hopeful that the person that's going to write the book, Asher Yatzar HaShalem, the halachos of Asher Yatzar, after he used the washroom, wouldn't be one of his students. Now, what was he saying? Wouldn't be. We're living in a generation where two se'ifim in the Shulchan Aruch, two small paragraphs about a specific halacha, turns into a full book. And the full book gives you every little minutia of a detail as to what to do. And you all know the examples. Sviras HaOmer is one siman in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a pretty short siman. And today, we have whole books on Hilchos Sviras HaOmer. Now, with all due respect to Sviras HaOmer, we spoke about Sviras HaOmer many times. You're not going to suspect me that I don't mekayim this mitzvah, whether it be the rites or the rabbanon. Is it a hard mitzvah to fulfill? Do you need a minutia of details of exactly when, what, how, and who? But yet, in which that seems to be what's happening. Ultimately, this book's about everything that moves. So the Asher Yetzer HaShalem, I'm sure, will come out in the next few years by someone. Just like there's a book on various other things. Every little minutia has to be in a book. And in my opinion, and I heard this from my Rebbe Rav Amital as well, we're living in a generation where we stop taking pride in our past. We stop taking pride in who came before us. And therefore, because of that, we need books to tell us what to do today. Now, this has two ramifications. One is disastrous for the Jewish people, and one, you could say, is not so bad, but I personally see it as something we have to work on as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah. The first ramification is that because we don't take pride in our past, you're living in a generation of post. You know what the generation of post is? Post-Zionism. We no longer look at David Ben-Gurion, Golda Meir, and all those wonderful leaders that we used to bow down to in admiration. And therefore, jargon in Israel today, unfortunately, is that the Six-Day War was the biggest crisis and tragedy that ever happened to the Jewish people. No less. And when it's said and iterated, no one says boo. Because we're living in a generation where it seems to be the fashion to take our, what we used to call, glorious past. And not all of it was glorious. I'm not a naive person to think everything that used to be was perfect, and the good old days was always the good old days. But let's face it. There were certain things in the past that we should take pride in. And that stopped happening. And that's disastrous. And we know what's happening today politically. But secondly, in our little Jewish community, I believe that one of the ramifications of not taking pride in your past is the fact that you have books about everything. You no longer look to your father or your mother to give you direction as to what to do in terms of living a Jewish life. You look to books. The minhag that you had in the shul, what your parents did at home, no longer. We have to go ahead and look. And therefore, today, it's considered kosher, don't ask me how, to tell your parents, I don't eat in your home anymore. I'm not talking about parents that eat shrimp, and I'm not talking about parents that eat tripe. I'm talking about Shomer Shabbos parents that ultimately have a kosher home. And people say, I won't eat in your home. And the parents, out of the goodness of their heart, maybe in the interest of pluralism, go ahead and say, okay, there's pluralism to the left, it can be pluralism to the right. And they kosher their entire home. And they start buying these hechsherim and not those hechsherim. If we stop taking pride in our past, in my opinion, we are, with our own hands, breaking one of the secrets of our tradition, and that is that masorah that went midor l'dor. It's not just about what the books say. It's what you've taken from your past. And let me give you one example. And I read this on Shabbat in an article by a rabbi called Rav Chaim Navon. I used to learn with him in yeshiva. Very innovatively, he says the following. Who taught you how to shuckle and davening? The rabbi saying shuckle and davening? with their book Hilchot Shakalim Hashalem.
I heard it's coming out.
It's coming out.
Yeah.
No? Where did you learn to shuckle in davening? Did you ever hear a shir on Hilchot Shakalim? I know, once upon a time, somewhere someone told you, Kol Atzmotai Tomarna Hashem Yichamocha, that all your bones are supposed to daven to Hashem, and maybe that's the mucker of shuckling. But let's face it, who taught us how to shuckle? Now, don't look for an answer somewhere out there, gentlemen. I know it's a few hours after we were up very late last night for Slichos, but come on.
The crowd!
The crowd! You picked it up! It wasn't something you learned in a book. It was something you picked up from what's going around. Now, I'll give you another example. Most Jewish kitchens, how many of your kitchens, before you break an egg, you put it in a cup, you look for blood, and then you put it into whatever? We all do, right? I can give you a wonderful lumda shashir, without thinking twice, with a sveik sveik. Today, you don't need to break an egg in your kitchen with a glass, etc. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact that all the kosher agencies rely on this sveik sveik or whatnot, because they don't have mashgichim looking at all the eggs broken at every cookie company. But why do we do it in our kitchen? Because we picked it up. Now, I don't want you to think for a minute that it's only about the past. It's also about looking to the future, and I don't think we should live in the past. God willing, maybe after Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to give the exact opposite here about the price of trying to live in your past, and ultimately going back to the so-called authentic Judaism. But right now, for this year, I'm saying we should take pride in our past, because shuckling and breaking your egg in your kitchen was not something you learned in a book. It's something you picked up. And in my opinion, that's exactly what we're supposed to do as on Rosh Hashanah. What's Rosh Hashanah commemorate, at least according to the conclusion of the Gemara? It's a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, I believe. Rabbi Eliezer, we passed him, like, what's Rosh Hashanah commemorate? What is it the anniversary of?
The creation of man.
Very good. The creation of the human being. Of the human being, in my opinion, on this Rosh Hashanah, let's go back to our roots. And it seems to me that all the halachos of Rosh Hashanah are trying to tell you, go back to your roots. First of all, the mitzvah midah oraisa of Rosh Hashanah is what?
Shofar.
Shofar is the most primitive way to pray. There's no words, there's no formulations, there's no beautiful piyutim. It's just blow a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going right back to the source, before man knew how to speak. Lo atzila to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But beyond the mitzvah midoraisa, in my opinion, all the minhagim of Rosh Hashanah are so beautiful they haven't changed one iota. I mean, not at all. For years. Let's talk about a few of them. The kittel. I haven't yet seen someone today that say the kittel looks like this old Polish dress that they used to wear. It's long. It has a robe and a sash. That's not the way we dress today. We should put on white pants and a white shirt. I haven't heard that in any shavdin on Rosh Hashanah. They say the chazan has to wear a kittel. That's the way Jews have always come to shul on Rosh Hashanah. Number two, take the machzer. You daven on Yom Tov throughout the year, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. You ever use the Machzor Rabbah? Anyone ever use the Machzor Rabbah? Okay. Why do you enjoy using the Machzor Rabbah, Rabbi Singer? I'll tell you why. There's so many piyutim in there that you don't say. And when a Jew sees that he doesn't say what's in the Siddur, he feels he's buying time. And if he's buying time, he feels even better than he did if he wasn't buying time. Throughout the Yom Tovim, we no longer say piyutim, at least in the shuls I've davened in. If you daven in a real German community, I'm assuming you do. But in general, outside a few exceptions, like Rav Soloveitchik and others, no one said piyutim on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? We say piyutim, just like they always did. So you have the kittel like they always wore, and you have the piyutim that they always said. Let me give you another one. I am awaiting, and I looked before this year on Google. Let me find someone that makes fun of the simonim. Yes, the Gemara increases that you should have simonim. Amoraim already ate simonim on Rosh Hashanah. But it's amazing. Even the most liberal Jews have come up with a Seder of Erev Rosh Hashanah night with the simonim, just like it was always done, with almost the same fruits and vegetables.
We learned in Horios, actually.
Harios and Trisus, right. Harios, I believe it's Abaye that says that he used to put it on the table, but he didn't eat it. And later in Trisus, it says that they used to eat it. And much later, in time of the Gaon, the Yehiratzons were added to it. So gentlemen, you look at Rosh Hashanah, it's basically the same Rosh Hashanah we've always, always celebrated, no differences, kimat, whatsoever. The Piyutim are said, the same kittel, same simonim. I'd even add one more thing. Tashlich should have been on the target, and it isn't somehow. It's unlike Kaparos, which was a big machlokas, and to this day, as a matter of fact, if Kaparos is a good thing or a bad thing for the Jews. But quite frankly, gentlemen, on Rosh Hashanah, I think it's a very important to tell our families, our kids, we're going back to the source. It's the day we created man, and therefore we go back to our source, and we take pride in where we came from, and not just where we're going. We take pride in where we came from, and therefore it's exactly the same. And let me give you one more example. The Holy Maharil, you heard of? Big Pesach of Ashkenaz. Right? The Ramab quotes him Lahalacha. What nusach are you allowed to use for Rosh Hashanah davening? So any Baal Tzivah knows he has to incorporate Nigunim for the Piyutim and whatnot. But when you say, I don't know, Uvachein Tein Pachtecha, the Maharil says the holy Nigunim, the holy Nusach of Ashkenaz, you can't change. Now, I've seen throughout the year Nigunim change, Nusach change, but on Rosh Hashanah, from Karblach onwards, it's that same Baruch Hu on the night of Rosh Hashanah, it's the same Nusach for every shul you've ever davened in. Rosh Hashanah is the day that we have to go ahead and try to try in where we came from. Now, it doesn't mean everything they ever did was perfect. Let's face it. If our grandparents ate a lot of meat because they thought it was healthy, and it turns out today that it gives you high cholesterol, I'm not saying no, just follow the way it always was. God forbid, I'm not naive to think everything that always was perfect. But we have to refurbish sometimes that important dichotomy between what was and what is. What was, our past, is part of who we are. And Rosh Hashanah, in my opinion, is the time that we take pride in our past. And what's interesting to me is that we go ahead, and as we march towards Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, then Sukkot, it's interesting, we're going from our past. Yom Kippur, in my opinion, teaches about our present, our chataim right here and now, not necessarily what our grandparents did. And finally on Sukkot, we finally come b'simcha to our sukkah, which I think doesn't necessarily look like. The wood is not the same, maybe the decorations are not the same. We go from the past to the present to forming the future. But when we form the future on Sukkot, we say Hallel, in which we say the famous words, Haktanim im Hagdolim. And that's, in my opinion, what Judaism should be. Haktanim im Hagdolim. The older generation with the younger generation. We have to keep that dichotomy, but Rosh Hashanah specifically has to be a day in which we return to our past, in which we return to what we were, and not necessarily what we are. And in my opinion, if you ask me, our community has a big problem with this, in many ways. I spoke about the books that come out. Let me give you another example. There are other communities out there that when they look back to their past, they talk about this gadol and that gadol, and his yortzeit and that yortzeit. Does that happen in our community? For our Gedolim, quote-unquote. There's a gentleman that works with me. Every year he goes on the yortzeit of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog to his kever. Now whether you go to his kever or not doesn't really faze me. I don't think going to the kever is going to make us hold an admiration our Gedolim. Has anyone here heard of Rav Herzog? What can you tell me about Rav Herzog? The first chief rabbi of the state of Israel, correct?
He wrote a
doctorate on Chelas. Very good. He was the chief rabbi of Ireland. Continue.
He was the father of the grandfather of the Booker in Shul.
Yeah.
Great.
Continue.
And he was a big Talmud Chacham. That's why he was actually.
Anyone else? Gentlemen, I'm not surprised what I've heard just now, and Bruce, I am impressed by your knowledge on the one hand, and on the other hand, what you did was, it's like you tickled the surface. Very nicely. Chief Rabbi, has a son in the Knesset. This man was autodidactic. He never went to a yeshiva. Once in Paris, he met the Ridbaz, not the Radbaz. The Radbaz was 16th century. The Ridbaz, who was the chief rabbi in Tzfat at the end of his life. and he got close to him, he considered him his Rebbe, right? Anyway, gentlemen, you ever see a picture of him when he was nominated as Chief Rabbi in 1935? He had a nice black beard, looked young. By 1950, he looked like he aged 30 years. Because what this man went through on behalf of the Jewish people between the years 1935 to 1950, none of us ever went through. This was the man that wrote the halachic tshuvas that we use to this day in order to facilitate a police on Shabbos, an army on Shabbos, and whatnot. This is the man that went after the Shoah from convent to convent in Europe to try to take Jewish children out. And the stories are legendary. He went in, he pleaded with the Pope. The Pope said, whoever thinks he's Jewish can come with you. So he goes into a dining hall. Everyone looks. They haven't seen Jews in 5 years. And he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Perhaps remembered that went with him. This man was in America when the war broke out. And he insisted on coming back to Israel at very clear danger to himself. What this man did for the Jewish people is beyond anything any of us have ever achieved. What does a typical person in our community know about him? Hardly anything. Yeah, chief rabbi. What this man went through for the Jewish people, he's one of the most underestimated leaders that we had. And a gadol shebegadoyim. I know for a fact on Friday, which in Israel is a semi-day off, the gadoyim of Yerushalayim, the Haredi gadoyim also, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rabbi Yashin, they all went to his house to hear a shir on Yerushalmi. They say about him that they once ask him a shayla, and he looks and he goes, that's not in the Bavli, and it's not in the Yerushalmi either, just like I just did now to you. This was how much this man knew. Photographic memory. How much do we know about it? Do we take pride in it? This man, the shaylas he got, they haven't gotten for 2,000 years, how to run a police and an army on Shabbos, how to run a hospital on Shabbos. No one ever dealt with these things back in the old country. And we know nothing about him. We just, one of the chief rabbis, Azoigit. We can take pride in our past as well. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is trying to push us to do. And in my humble opinion, on Rosh Hashanah, somehow, during the day, we have to point out to someone in our families, we have to take pride in our past as well. It's not just the present. It's the past as well. Yom Kippur is a different story, but Rosh Hashanah is a day in which we have to take pride in where we came from, and not necessarily only what we are. So therefore, when I see the books today on Asher Yatzer HaShalem that may come out, and many other books, on the one hand, I'm happy there's such a thirst for knowledge, and putting out Sfarim today is a relatively easy thing to do. Printing is cheap. Computerization allows things to be done much faster. But on the other hand, I'm very worried that we stop taking pride in our past, and we go ahead and we just say, well, whatever the book says I'm going to do, and I never look to my parents or my grandparents, it's just the book. It wasn't lichinam. It wasn't by virtue of some mistake that Torah Shebaal Peh became Torah Shebaal Peh, not just Torah Shebechtav. God didn't want to give it to us only written down. And allow me to tell you one of the most horrifying things I've seen, if it's true, in one of these parsha sheets that they give out. You know the parsha sheets they give out in shul so you don't have to talk in shul and you just read? Right? Huh? Everyone read parsha sheets in shul once upon a time? One of the parsha sheets, or a few of them, have this new thing that I think is atrocious called the Shut SMS. You know what a Shut SMS is? SMS in Hebrew means texting in English. It's a Hebrew word. SMS. SMS shoot. What is it? You send a SMS to a rabbi and he tells you what to do quickly, quick. Right? So, it's a very helpful thing. If you, I don't know, had a spoon that was milchik, that touched a flashing dish and you want to know what to do, I'm sure that would be very... What bothers me is that the shoot SMS also became the way people deal with very fundamental questions that, believe me, are not for SMS. But this particular one baffled me totally. Now, I didn't see it in a parsha sheet. I heard it aid me. So it may not be true, maybe it's made up, but if it's true, it is horrifying, and it's my opinion, the end of Judaism. The end of Judaism as we know it. Judaism has always said, Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, ishimo v'aviv tirau. There was an admiration for our parents and who came before us. And let me tell you the question. Rabbi, my father doesn't learn enough. He doesn't koveya itim enough. What should I do? Now before telling you the answer, what do you think the answer should be? Anyone here a rabbi in the room besides Rabbi Singer? Just use your common sense. Try not to be a rabbi with this. Use your common sense.
Probably not a question you want to ask. It's not a question. You didn't learn enough. Have you learned?
Who you were determined how much your father,
right.
How much time your father had to COVID and you were, you
right.
know. You, I know who the, I know the answer to the question. But certainly the
a teenager.
Certainly the person's not out in the real world.
Perhaps a teenager may want to talk to the teacher. Gee, I'd love to learn more of my father. How can I do it?
Yeah.
But
that might be, but other than that...
Right,
that's a different question.
Right, a different question.
But this is the... I want him to... He's not learning enough. He's not makbid on Allah enough. What do I do? That was the question. He's not learning enough. It wasn't even... He's eating traits. It's not eating traits. It's not learning enough.
Even another way around.
So common sense tells you it's none of your business to go ahead right. and to educate your parents. And I agree with that 100%.
Even
now let's go into the halakhic realm. Are you allowed to tell your father or mother you're doing something wrong?
I don't know. That's a good question.
The answer is no.
But
the answer is no. The Gemara
no,
comes up and says you have to tell them in a roundabout way. You can't tell them directly, and if it's like this and like that. All
not,
right.
If you know, if a parent is uneducated and doesn't know, and is clearly violating halacha of Shabbos, you don't
right.
have enough values to point that.
If that was the case, which is not this question.
I don't know.
If,
you know.
Right ways of doing it, but again, you have to be extra careful to say it in a way where you're not telling your parents what to do, you're merely suggesting in a roundabout way. This, on the other hand, is like, now it's my job to educate my parents. The rabbi answers. You ready for the answer? If this is true, this rabbi should be revoked of the smicha. I'm not kidding you now. If I ever find out who the rabbi was, I'm going to call him and tell him that. You ready for the answer?
Nice answer, but I don't think
put... Buy Sifrei Kodesh from your allowance money and put it around the house randomly. Hopefully your father will get the hint and will start Kovea Itim HaTorah. You understand what that question says? You know what the assumptions of that question, you know what the rabbi, number one, practically your father's going to start learning and he's going to get the hint when he sees Sifrei Kodesh around the house. I mean, that's real practical. Yeah. Number two, it's your job to educate your parents. So this is the way you're going to do it. But you can't tell them directly, so you'll do it in this way. Right? In a nice way in Hebrew, we say ta'avodalav. What does that mean in English? Pull him over his eyes. He won't know it, but you'll do it. Number three, who tells you what to do in terms of what you do in your own home and whatnot? Where do you pick it up from? From me, the rabbi. I could tell you how to act in your own home with your own parents. Don't pick it up on your parents. They don't know anything. The rabbis have to control human halakhic behavior only. Now, I'm not saying the rabbis shouldn't be consulted, God forbid. Shailas should be asked to rabbis. But this? If this is true, this is beyond my comprehension. Go educate your father. Here, I'll tell you how to do it. Here, put Sifrei Kodesh randomly, and he'll get to him. Because obviously your father's wrong, and obviously he's not Kovea Itim, and obviously, you're right, and obviously he's not as religious as you, and obviously I'm the rabbi, I can tell you what to do, and I'm the one that controls Judaism, not Masorah, not what you saw in your home, and therefore this is what you should do. If that shut SMS is true, in my opinion, it's the end of Masorah as we know it. It's the end of the Torah, as we know it. You want to be more, quote-unquote, religious than your parents? When you build your own home, you can do what you feel is right. That's fine. That's fine. But don't go ahead and denigrate what came before you. Be careful. Extra careful. And the answer to that question should have been exactly what we just heard. It is not your job to mechanech your parents. When you go up to Shammai, you're not going to say, why didn't you mechanech your father to Kovea Itim? They're going to ask your father why he didn't Kovea Itim. We're not talking about an irreligious man here. We're talking about a religious man. So ultimately believe that Rosh Hashanah is the time where we have to go and say, we have to have admiration for who came before us. Now, we're not going to end there. This series is an ongoing series. You'll hear me between Kesel Asur talk about the other aspect of this, and that is to look at what's out there and not necessarily just to try to refurbish the past. But it has to be also that. Let's, this Rosh Hashanah, celebrating it the same way our forefathers did, with almost no changes, with the piyutim and the nigunim and the nusach and the tashlich and the simonim and the kittel. Let's try to tell our kids we have to take admiration in our past.